This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, Friar Faithful. 97.3 The Fan's Padres Roundtable is on the air.
Unbelievable!
It's time to discuss everything going on with the Padres. The 97.3 The Fan crew is here for the most in-depth discussion on the Friars in our weekly Padres Roundtable, delivered by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. And now, here's your host, Ben Higgins.
Oh, did you miss us last week? We are back after a Thursday game day last Thursday. The Roundtable returns. It is brought to you by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. 1 hour of commercial-free Padres talk with our 97.3 The Fan crew. A little bit of a change in the lineup today. We'd like to welcome Sam Levitt into the Roundtable, our Padres pre- and post-game show host.
Thank you. Great to be here,
everybody. Sammy, good to have you here. Well, Braden and Paulie are both...
Are you not normally here?
No, he's not normally on the round table. Thanks for paying attention, Tony. We do have Tony Gwynn Jr., who is not on the road, so he gets
Wait
to join second. Us.
Wait a second, is he normally here?
You're the one that we get to say. Is he normally here, Tony Gwynn Jr.? But he is here today. He's in the middle, Chris Ello next to me. We got Matt Scraby, and of course, my co-host, Stephen Woods. And Padres coming off, taking 2 of 3 to the Miami Marlins, but... the tough loss yesterday. We don't have to get specifically into that game. I do want to ask, Padres have now won 2 series in a row against the Atlanta Braves and the Miami Marlins, coming off a stretch in which they had lost 6 in a row and 10 of 14. Do we feel, yesterday's loss notwithstanding, that the Padres have broken out of the funk that they were in for a time being, or are they still, in your opinion, on a bit of shaky ground on their recent play? Matt, why don't we start with you on the end over there?
I think they're breaking out. They've broken out of it, because if you win a series against the Braves in Atlanta, that's a pretty good series. If you win a series against the Marlins at home, that's a pretty good series. Yesterday was standing. It was terrible to see what happened yesterday, but I think they've broken out of it.
I'd really like to see the offense yesterday come together with a 5-run inning, passing the baton, everyone kind of coming together. They're not as hot as they were early in the season, Chris, but it definitely seemed more reminiscent the last couple of days of the kind of baseball we saw earlier in the year.
You know, they're so bad last week, they took us off the air. So, I'm not as convinced. As you know, the 2 series might suggest. I think there's a little shaky ground right now. You know, I mean, the bullpen. You know, honestly, not just the last month or 3 weeks. The last 6 weeks, the bullpen's ERA is 4.28. This after opening at 1 point something ridiculous. The bullpen hasn't been great. We've been hanging on to how great they started the season. The starting pitching's hurting. I mean, you know, when is Darvish going to get back? And hopefully King only misses the minimum time. It seems like every time somebody on this team gets injured, it's the maximum time. You know, offensively, the runners in scoring position has been really poor until yesterday, strangely, when they went 4 for 5 and still lost the game. Mm-hmm. So I'm not convinced of everything yet, and left field is still an issue, although Gavin Sheets is going to improve the hitting numbers while he's out there.
Woods, it's hard to unring the bell. When you see a stretch of shaky play, stretch of lack of offense, in our minds, it's hard to unring that bell and go, no, that's not the real team. The real team's the one we saw earlier in the season. Where do you stand now after 2 straight series wins?
I think, you know, what are they, 9 games over .500?
Eight games over .500.
That's kind of better than I thought they would be. I've taken a more I think this year in the first third of the season, just a little bit more laid back approach. I do believe in this team. I do believe in their potential. We have seen when it does fire on all cylinders, and I sure like that version of the San Diego Padres. And you know, feast or famine type situation. When the famine happens, everyone looks really, really hungry. And when the feast happens, it's great. And they did feast a little bit yesterday. Bullpen let them down. It's going to happen. Long season. It's a particularly brutal stretch coming up. So. You know, that's I'm confident every day when I put the TV on, I'm confident that I'm going to be entertained by the guys at the top of the order, some of the most exciting players in baseball, guys I believe in, guys I don't really worry about. I don't worry too much. I'm not too worried right now at 8 games over .500.
Tony, I know baseball doesn't always work in sportscaster cliches. There's no corner necessarily. Yeah. To turn a gear to shift into, but as you're watching the team every day, do you feel like that they've gotten past some of the struggles that were plaguing them for a couple of weeks there?
Yeah, I do. I think I don't think they were as good of a team as they were when they started, and I certainly don't think they're as bad of a team as they were in that 6-game stretch there. I just think this team is good, and they had a rough stretch. You know, I think those 6-week bullpen numbers are extremely deceiving because it was through the entire month of April that bullpen was best in the world. And then they had a stretch of a week that has, you know, would skew those 6-week numbers that Chris was bringing up. But you know, the only concern I have is health. What does Michael King look like after the IL in terms of, is he going to be on there for the full? He's going to be on there for 10 at least, right? Because it was retroactive to his last start. So it's not the full 15 on from the day. But how fast can he come back? When is you? I think you is kind of, he's on his, he's going to make the decision in terms of when he's ready. But outside of the health issue, I don't worry about this team, especially this early. They've played well.
All right, Sammy, now your feet are wet. You're feeling comfortable. You're ready to chime in. Yes. On our first topic here. Go ahead.
I'm with Tony in both the bullpen sense and also the bigger picture sense with the injuries. The bullpen was really good during this little 3-game win streak, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It was 12-plus scoreless innings, and I'm with you. The really poor stretch for a while, I think, inflated those numbers over a long period there. And then yesterday was obviously, like right. We talked about on your program, Ben and Woods, was very different with the state of the bullpen yesterday. I'm with Tony. I think the bigger picture concern is the health. And I said it on your show, the fact right now that you have, in no disrespect to those guys, but guys that you don't really know what you're getting start in, start out, even though Randy's been really good. Randy Vasquez, Stephen Kolek, Kyle Hart. The plan at the beginning of the season was not to have all those three guys making a start every fifth day, and we'll see what happens with the Hart spot. But having guys like King and Darvish out, and we'll see what the deal is with King and how long he's going to be out, that's potentially, especially when you have a rougher stretch of the schedule coming up, both in games and competition, that's potentially a pretty big issue. So that's a huge question right now, Darvish and King, and when those guys come back. But I'm not super concerned about the bullpen. I think the offense is starting to come out of it. I'm not super concerned about them. But the starting pitching all of a sudden, I think, is a pretty real concern.
I remind everyone that the same thing happened last year.
Yep.
Their rotation lost two of the main guys out of the rotation. They plugged in Vasquez. They plugged in Waldron last year.
Yep.
And they weren't asked to take a start every fifth day. They were asked to take a start in that stretch of time and keep their team. The same thing is going to be asked. Now, I think the bigger question is where those starts come from this year.
Right.
You know, can they do the same thing that they were able to do with the position players and basically stay afloat?
We are underway. It is our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable. It is brought to you commercial-free by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. And since we've already talked a little bit about the bullpen, I think it's a conversation that could probably take up the rest of this hour, maybe the rest of the day. Bullpen management. You know, every team has their own, you know, theories and strategies. They're all kind of similar on the big league level, but they're all a little bit different as well. And I kind of lit up, you know, Mike Schilt and AJ Preller about how yesterday's game went down in terms of being really aggressive by pulling Kyle Hart, but then being really conservative by not pulling Wandy Peralta. But I think overall, I think the Padres do an actually excellent job of bullpen management. And I think some fans are going to go, what? They're terrible. They're terrible at that. And I wanted to get your guys' opinion. Let me start with Chris this time. Overall, the way the Padres manage their bullpen this season and last season, do you think they do it right in terms of how much they use their high-leverage guys, you know, the days off, just the general sense? Are they a good bullpen management team?
Yeah, I think they are. I don't agree with every move that's made. I would have brought Suarez in. I don't know what you were saying on the show. I would have brought Suarez to try to get the last out of the eighth inning, but it's also Monday morning quarterbacking. Peralta could have got him out, and nobody would have mentioned it. So, look, I think by and large they make really good decisions, but that's not really the question here. The question is, how do they manage it? I think the reason they do a good job managing it is because guys have defined roles, and they have a pretty good idea when they're going to pitch, what situations they're going to be used in. Then the bullpen hear their name called very often and go, what? Oh, wait, really? I think they almost expect, hey, you know, my name's probably going to get called here. I think that's good bullpen management in general. And, you know, ultimately, the fans are going to base the bullpen management on the success of the pitchers. When you bring a guy in and he gets the job done,
terrible.
What a great move. And
oh, yeah.
When he,
good.
The opposite, when he doesn't get it done, Mike Schilt's an idiot. That's what it's going to come down to. But I think they do a really good job, yes.
Woods, you're nodding over there.
They found their lanes for guys early this year. I asked Ruben about it beginning of last year. How long does it take? You know, when you got a bunch of new faces and you got a bunch of different arms and different pitches, and, you know, and they found their lane early, you know, with Estrada, Adam, Suarez. I mean, and to have that luxury is a good thing, ultimately. And when one of those guys falters, it's weird. When Jason Adam uncorks a wild pitch to tie the game, and then he hits a guy in the head, and, you know, Manny boots a ball. It's weird, but they found their lanes early this year, and they stick to it once you find those. And Ruben told me, man, it takes a while sometimes. And it didn't take them a while this year. They came out gangbusters. They were fresh. Everyone's fired up, ready to go. Now you see a little bit of, as Mike Schilt called it yesterday, attrition. You know, and they have, again, way more info than we do. They're not going to give us their plan before the game. Hey, Morahone's going to be down today, and we're only going to use Adam for, you know, to get in the seventh. We're going to put him in a little early. They're never going to give you their plan. I think ripping on bullpen management sometimes, it just feels like low hanging fruit. Sometimes it does. That game got speedy on them yesterday. It did. It sped up on them. And you're right, though. I mean, they did have two different philosophies of aggressive and then conservative late. I didn't necessarily understand it either, but I also understand, you know, they know more than I do as it pertains to that. I think they've done a good job doing it. You know, who's the best bullpen manager in baseball? Who's the model?
That's a good question.
Only La Russa would like to think he was.
Yeah, I think he's playing golf somewhere in Scottsdale, right? Yeah. But, like, who's the best? Is it Dave Roberts? His team's in first place. He must be the best bullpen manager.
He was last year in the postseason.
In the postseason.
But prior to that,
the...
he was horrible at it. Just ask the Dodger fans.
Exactly. But who's the best? Who is the team you look at and go, man, that's the guy I want to be like? There isn't one. There never will be. You know, it's the players getting the job done that makes the manager look like a genius.
Tony, I saw some criticism about bringing David Morgan in, a rookie in a situation like that. You're never going to find out about your guys unless you use them. I mean, we saw Sean Reynolds come in a couple of times last year and, you know, get the job done. You do need to use those guys. I don't have a problem with that. Ultimately, how do you feel like the Padres manage their bullpen?
I think they are one of the best at managing their bullpen. To me, you can't really criticize the moves if you don't understand the information and you don't understand, you know, the attrition that Mike talks about. Like, remember, this bullpen covered a bunch of innings on the road, including a full-on bullpen day that was out of the blue. And they lost that game. They came back. They were set themselves up to be able to win that game by handling the bullpen the way they did the previous night. You fast forward to yesterday, there's a lot of attrition. They could have brought Suarez in, but he's been used a ton. And, you know, the other thing is keeping these guys healthy, because if you're chasing a win on May 28th and that costs you down the stretch because someone's hurt because you were chasing a win, all that has to be factored into it. I think Mike Schilt does a him and Ruben do an excellent job managing the bullpen.
He got a lot of grief for those four out saves last year at the early part of the season. A lot. He did it a lot. And we won some games, but he got a lot of grief. And then Suarez started to scuffle
right. Yep. The team was in a different situation. You can't necessarily win the division or win a wild card early, but you can lose it. You can certainly lose it. And so this team put themselves in position to be able to go after it a little bit different. Maybe not have to use Suarez for four out saves as you're peddling to stay 500 versus being eight games over 500 right now. And, you know, I think they do a terrific job.
You know, and you mentioned the bullpen day. It was a 9-game stretch. I went back and looked at it. I think I counted 35 innings pitched by the relievers over that 9-day stretch. So, absolutely, I thought, you know, attrition and fatigue were part of what happened yesterday. Sam, we talked a little bit about the end of our show. The only thing I would have done is I probably would have left Kyle Hart in, even though he was struggling a little bit, with only, you know, 50-some-odd pitches and, you know, fresh from AAA. I would have let him try to get out of that jam and save my bullpen a little bit longer, even though, you know, they'd get some soft singles and getting some hits off him, a couple harder balls. That if you're going to go conservative and save your bullpen, go all in with that strategy and protect your bullpen by asking another inning or two out of a starter, even if he wasn't quite as sharp.
Yeah, I thought yesterday was the perfect storm of guys being unavailable, which is fair. It happens over the course of a long season, especially when you have the amount of bullpen usage they've had and a little bit of a different approach. Last year, I think, early in the season, Robert Suarez probably comes in the eighth inning and tries to get a multi-inning save. If they don't want to push Suarez in that way this year, especially with a better start, totally fair. I thought, and I'll get to Kyle Hart in a second, but look, there were other moments of that game that played a factor. Manny making the error, Fernando running through a stop sign. It was a collective team effort.
Team loss. And
yes, for sure. I think there would have been an argument if you knew your bullpen was going to be very limited for a number of reasons of trying to get Kyle Hart through that fifth inning. If he gives up the home run to Lopez, then there's probably second guessing as to why you would let Hart face a right-hander as the tying run. So it's always going to go both ways. It was a tough spot yesterday for a multitude of reasons.
Suarez had been in, if I'm not mistaken, 6 of 8.
A lot of games.
7 of 9.
Yeah.
So leaning on him for a four-out save at the back end of that would be kind of wild. And I think the other thing about Kyle Hart, if you guys, I know you guys were watching the game, everything started to leak up.
Yeah.
And that, you can say what you want about the cast-offs for the Marlins. Those dudes are out there trying to murder the baseball. And eventually, it wouldn't have been off the end of the bat. It would have been a long ball. So, even though I understand he only had 50-something pitches in that mm-hmm. game, he was coming to the end, for sure.
What does everybody think about Mike Schilt's he's fallen in love with, and I don't mind it, but what do you guys think of getting guys out in the middle of innings? He doesn't give his
leaders fresh innings.
That's going back to last year.
He did that last year. Yeah.
Up, down.
He likes that.
I shouldn't say that he's fallen in love with it. He's always done this.
He's done.
And that's, they're one of the few teams, though, that'll get it. The guy will get two outs, then he comes out.
That is the game plan going in. Like, we're going to use this guy for this many outs. And if he can get to this guy, we're going to flip to go to the other guy. I think, in essence, it actually ends up saving guys a little bit. As opposed to going one more batter to just finish the inning, you hand it to the next guy, and you can piece it together that way through however many innings.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Can I say one more thing about the bullpen? Somebody that immediately came into my mind yesterday that would have been really valuable in a game like that was Brian Hoeing, who should be back mm-hmm. pretty soon here, because good yesterday point. Would have been a game with Kyle Hart on the mound, assuming Hoeing was available, where righty batter, 6-3 game. We know Hoeing could give us multiple innings after that. Quality pitcher, go get that batter and go get the next two innings. I think they've missed that a little bit, having a real quote-unquote long reliever, which they haven't had, and a quality one in Hoeing. And the good news is that Hoeing continues to rehab, and I would presume is going to be back pretty soon. He immediately came into my mind yesterday as somebody they could really use.
Let's be honest. He's probably relieving Kolek in the second or third the night before in the game.
You can't view it in a vacuum either. Right? Yes, of course.
He would have been part of that attrition.
That's what I was going to say. It's kind of... I know the situations were different, but it was kind of interesting to me to see Stephen Kolek give up 6 runs in the top of the first inning and then just throw him back out there. He figured it out. He got some more innings, but Kyle Hart faces a little bit of pressure, and they pulled him.
Again, that comes off the back of that bullpen game that was, what, 2 nights before?
Yeah.
And so
maybe they had no choice.
They didn't, at that point, they didn't have a choice. They got a running back out there and hope that he can kind of get it back together, and to his credit, he did.
And by the way, Stephen Kolek was probably a handful of pitches away from maybe not getting out of
that. You're right.
It could have been even worse for yesterday's 100%. Game. So,
I think ultimately for me, from the bullpen issue and beyond, it comes down to that I, as a fan, I trust the Padres' decision makers, whether it's AJ, Mike Schilt, Ruben Niebla. It was a hard-earned trust. I don't know that I always, trusted AJ. Certainly didn't trust Mike Schilt when he first got here. They had to earn that trust, but at this point, for me at least, I may not understand every move that they make, and maybe I won't ever. They can't explain it to me for whatever reason, but I think the guys know their stuff. I think they're looking out for theirs. They're looking out for wins. I trust the decision makers of the San Diego Padres. Do you guys mostly agree with me as well?
For sure.
Yeah, which is a good place to be if you're a fan base, because not every fan base can really genuinely say they trust their team's decision makers.
We haven't been able to do that here for a long time.
So. I understand where you're coming from, Ben, because I trust you, and it was a long time coming.
You're welcome. Thank you, Chris. Well, you might not trust me after I throw another roundtable draft at everybody. It's our roundtable brought to you by Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. So we're officially exactly one-third of the way through the Padres season, 54 games down, 108 games remaining for your San Diego Padres. And I think about 3 weeks ago, this question wouldn't have even been worth asking. But with Fernando going into his slump lately, the draft question is, who is your first third MVP for the San Diego Padres? You can make an argument, but you can't take anyone who's already been taken. And here's our draft order I just randomly selected. It's going to go Tony, Sam, Scraby, Woods, Chris, and I go last. So, Tony, you get to go first. Who's your first third MVP for the San Diego Padres?
Man, this is a tough one.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's Manny Machado.
Okay.
Came down to him or Pivetta, because they've both been really good from the start. But it's amazing to me, and I think I'm guilty of it too. I think we take him for granted in terms of, like, the things he brings to the ballpark every day. And watching him start this season, he's, 35 away from 2,000 and 2 away from 350. It kind of brings it all in perspective, and we're getting to watch, it more than anybody else he's ever played in front of. I think when Manny's going, typically the team is going too. And so I would give my, third MVP to Manny.
Sammy, you can choose anyone but Manny Machado now. And I saw you're a little frustrated. There's some good choices left, Sam.
Well, I wanted to do like a minute defending Manny's honor.
You don't have to. I do it enough.
Which I've had to do a lot lately.
Sure. Me too.
He's not clutch, Sam.
To me, it's going to be either Pivetta or Sheets. I'll take Sheets. It'll give me an opportunity to talk about Gavin Sheets. I mean, what a story he's been. And if Gavin Sheets wasn't producing at the level he's producing, that would be another spot in the Padres lineup, whether he's in left or DHing or wherever he's playing on any given day. It would be another question mark and potential issue in their lineup, and wherever he is, it just hasn't been. And nobody could have predicted when he walked into the clubhouse in Peoria on a minor league deal that he would end up being what he's been, and really translating what we saw in spring training into the regular season seamlessly. So
sounds familiar.
Yeah.
From 2024.
Yeah. So Jerks and Profar. Right. Yeah. I mean, he's almost in a different way, like this year's version of Jerks and Profar. So he's been so good. He's been such a pleasant surprise. He's already got more home runs this season than he had in both 23 and 24. He's a great clubhouse guy, says all the right things, has made adjustments, listens to the coaching staff. I don't know how you couldn't be incredibly impressed. So yeah, I'll go Gavin Sheets.
The middle word of MVP is valuable, which starts with value. And for a lot of people, value is what you get above expectations. And no one has performed more above expectations than Gavin Sheets. All right, Scraby, you got the third pick in the draft.
I kind of wish I had the last pick because I have a name in mind. But if I took him now, people are going to laugh at me. So I'm going to go
Take a risk, man.
Yeah, do it.
Take a risk.
It's not that serious,
Scraby. You guys have
already
laughed at me for this name.
I don't. Gavin Sheets is probably not the MVP of the team in the first third, but it gave me an opportunity to talk about it.
That's what the draft is. It's an opportunity to talk a little bit.
I'll say it. Tyler Wade has been extremely important to this team.
I like it.
He's been extremely important to this team because Jackson Merrill was out almost a month. He filled in seamlessly. You put him anywhere on the field, he could do it. He won the game the other day on the wild pitch. If he's not on this team, I don't know where they are in regards to what they would have done with Jackson Merrill out. So
hit over 300,
baby.
Hit over 300 in that span where he
Thank
had to
you,
start.
Sam.
Oh boy,
I'm all about Tyler.
He's
Wade.
Got one of the top ERAs on the staff as well. Yeah, I'm totally understand where Scraby's coming from here.
He's a dual threat.
Scraby, I love you. The GM that takes Tyler Wade third in the draft just got fired, unfortunately. All right, pick number four, and
you know, just for that, we're
Tyler Wade's off the board.
Just for everybody,
just for that, we're giving you your own afternoon show for the next 9 days.
You guys laughed at me because I said Tyler Wade was going to be an X factor back before the season, and he has been. Toot my own horn over here.
Oh, it's very obviously Luis Camposano. No, I'm sorry. I was joking. No, I'm going to go with I'll go with Robert Suarez, a very calming presence at the end of games. And as we've mentioned, maybe would have liked to see him yesterday, but was not to be. But came into the season. You know, we all remember the rough stretch last year. And boy, he was incredible. Incredible the first 54 games of the season, Ben. And, you know, you feel good when he's in there. 2.35 ERA, 17 saves right now. That's pretty good first third.
We have a Shadur Sanders situation developing here in our draft. Chris, you get to go fifth here.
He took mine.
Okay.
I was going to take Suarez.
All right. Oh, I thought you were pointing to me.
No, yeah.
No, nobody's going to point to you on that one.
You know, it is funny because we keep saying the closers are a dime a dozen, anybody can do it, but evidently not. I mean, teams paid a lot of money for a lot of closers this year that are terrible.
Yeah.
And it is a great luxury for the Padres. I think it's interesting that Jackson, Merrill, and Fernando don't have a vote yet. Jackson obviously was hurt. Fernando slumped, but I'll still say Fernando.
Oh, sure.
There you go.
I mean, he had to be taken at some point, people.
He went a month and a half carrying the club. Not carrying. Nobody carries this club. That's what I like about it. But, you know, he's been as good as anybody. Defensively, he's, you know, been solid. You know, the running through the stop sign is fresh in everybody's mind right now. But what's not fresh in your mind is dashing home from third to win the game when the ball's 1 foot away from the catcher. I don't think the coach told them to go on that one either. You get a little of that, you lose a little. Fernando's the most exciting player on this team, and I think he'll be back, you know, in a big groove here soon. So I feel confident I can go with him.
And and even during his slump, I can think of two games that he won on his own. The walk-off home run in the game in Pittsburgh. And if he doesn't do what he did in the first month of the season, who knows where they are in that first month, and then they don't bank as many wins. So in a serious sense, I think Fernando's got
By the way, I just figured out what you mean by the Shadur Sanders situation. We're hoping somebody will say Fernando.
Well, at some point,
I didn't say that because you said that.
The guy with 13 home runs, who was clearly the best player until about 2 weeks ago, had a walk-off home run about 2 weeks ago.
That is indeed a part of the third of the season.
Yeah, it has to be taken.
Recency bias.
Yeah, a little recency bias. All right, well, I'm left with the last pick. I think Sammy mentioned him, but didn't take him. So I will take Nick Pivetta as the guy who – You mentioned Nick Pivetta.
But he got a mention or two, but he's available.
I feel like where would this pitching staff be? It would be good, but it would be a whole different complexion if Nick Pivetta had not been added and produced the way he has over the first third of this baseball season. Tony, you're not.
MVP part, you part the value
over expectation.
He has definitely provided a ton of value over expectation. And he's kind of, you know, I like watching him on the mound, man. He has got an edge to him.
He does.
It reminds me so much of Kevin Brown in so many different ways.
Except off the field, he's very nice.
He's
and
super,
Kevin Brown was
he's
not.
Super nice. And like
Kevin really, got meaner,
really
when he left
polite,
the mound.
And all of that. Yeah, he did. Kevin didn't have that off the field part.
He carried it all the way through.
He did. He definitely did.
There's something about a starting pitcher having to talk with themselves during their start that I love.
It was just
a kind of craziness.
I know the situation happened in San Francisco, but I think it happened. Maybe it was in Atlanta, but. They came out, they talked to him with a runner on second. He got out and he immediately turned back to second base.
Running mouth.
It
yep.
was just like, all right, I see. I love that about Nick.
And if he wasn't there, if they didn't sign him, who would be throwing some of these games
with
San Diego Padres sure. right now? I mean, he's really kind of been the glue that has held the entire rotation together for the first third of the season. It's been a good rotation for the most part, even though C struggled for a little bit and. You know, they've had to go to some of their fifth and sixth guys. Pivetta has kept this, I think, together, and that's an extremely valuable thing.
It's such a luxury to have two guys in your rotation that you know every fifth day you're going to have them. Pivetta and even Cease. I know he struggled, but you're going to get innings out of those guys. And this early in the season, that's so, so important.
For all of the people that will argue against A.J. Preller's ability to put a team together, and that's a really long line. I mean, if you present a case of Gavin Sheets and Nick Pivetta as two additions in the same season, how many general managers have been able to duplicate that this year or any year?
Yeah, he's done it in back-to-back years.
Incredible, these two guys.
And I believe, what are they paying Nick Pivetta, like $1 million this year?
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Crazy. All right, we're about halfway home. I see a lot of complaints. It's our Roundtable Pizza Roundtable brought to you by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. See a lot of complaints about a perceived lack of transparency from the Padres, especially when it comes to injuries like Michael King and Yu Darvish. Hardly unusual. Teams are all very, close to the vest when it comes to these injuries. But I want to ask you guys, how much information do you think a fan base deserves from their team? Since they're the ones who are footing the bill, after all. They're paying for the tickets, the concessions, the merch, the TV deals and packages. They want to win, obviously, but how much information? Because fans get so frustrated, Sammy. You have to deal with them on the postgame show. Why are they lying to us about Yu Darvish? Why are they lying to us about
shilling.
Michael King? We hear this a lot. So how much info do you think the fans really deserve?
I don't think the fans are entitled to all the information that's going on with players' health and the team in general, and very rarely are they being given all the information. I think in this particular case, if you want to look at Darvish, if you want to look at King, whatever injuries, Merrill's injury, I think when you hear Mike Schilt talk post-game, he definitely typically leans on the more positive side of things, like he typically does in general for everything. I think obviously when it doesn't sound like a big deal, an injury initially, and then we find out a guy is going to be out for a long time, it's never going to be a great look or feeling for the fans, because it's like, oh, that the team lied. The team didn't tell the truth, when I think it's probably leaning more onto the positive side of injuries initially when they happen, which I think is natural and I think is fair for the Padres to do that. And I also think, and I think right now with Michael King, we're seeing it. I also think it takes time for teams to understand what exactly an injury is and the severity. And sometimes it does take some time, and we're looking for immediate answers. Like, Fernando gets hit by a pitch, how long is he going to be out? Well, sometimes it's not as simple as that. If he hasn't broken a bone, they got to see how he wakes up the next couple of days. So I think these things are often a little murky from the outset, which I think then maybe spills into the messaging, which then spills into how the fans perceive it.
I think this is a good question for our conspiracy enthusiast at the end, Matt Scraby.
Thank you very much.
Tony is starting to get a headache in the middle there. I'm sorry, Tony.
I go back and forth on this because I don't think we need to know everything about injury history at all. I mean, we can keep our medical histories private, but the players can't keep their medical histories private for whatever reason. But I do get a little frustrated when it's like, oh, he woke up on his shoulder wrong. He'll be back. Tony's zenning right now. But he woke up on his shoulder wrong. He'll be fine. And then the next day, oh, he's a little bit sore. He's going to miss his next start. Oh, and then the next day, IL. Like, I know that's how it goes, and I know what Sam said is correct. You have to see what happens. You have to see whether or not they feel better the next day. But I don't think that fans need all of the information. I think that they need enough information. I think maybe Yu Darvish is one of those things where is he? Like, no one has any idea where Yu Darvish is. No one has any idea when he's coming back. And he's one of the higher paid guys on the team. So I think that when you're paid highly, I think that is where you have a little bit more of a responsibility to tell the fans.
I know about every online appointment you make at Kaiser Permanente.
That's true. So,
I mean, you're pretty transparent about your health history over there.
Didn't think about that.
All right. Tony, before you explode in the middle, I'll let you just go ahead and say your piece on what the Padres do and don't say about their injuries.
I understand people want information, but I think they should be given as much information as they can actually understand. Scraby, case in point, he brings up the shoulder. Why is it so hard to believe that on the 15th different bed a guy has slept on this year, that he wakes up and his scap isn't feeling right? They say, all right, you know what? We'll give it a day. You'll be back tomorrow. Meanwhile, they got to go out and have a bullpen day, right? So they have the bullpen day. He comes in the next day. I still feel the same thing. Do they say, you know what, let's wait another day, have another bullpen day? You got to only get 26 guys on the roster. Yeah. So he's taking up a roster spot. And I think Sam's point is really important. I know we have the best technology we've ever had. We got imaging and things at a much faster pace. That does not then mean that you understand why the said player is feeling these things, because you can see some pictures. The reality is it works both ways. Those same shots can show a clean shoulder and a guy have symptoms of pain. Flip side, it can show a crappy shoulder and a guy be able to pitch a whole season. So this isn't an exact science in terms of figuring out why a guy is feeling like this and the type of information you got to give. So does Mike Schilt look any better if he comes and says, listen, guys, I don't know exactly what's happening right now. King came in and said his shoulder, I don't know. I can't tell you anything. And would you rather him do that, or would you rather him come out and say, listen, he woke up, his scap was not feeling great. We're going to give him a day and see how it goes. I don't know exactly what people are looking for. They want exact answers. And 95% of the time, there isn't an exact answer right then and there.
For the record, I believe that he slept on his shoulder wrong. I'm not saying that the Padres are making up things as to why he's injured.
To the point that Ben was making, that is the complaint, though, that you see out there a lot, is that they are somehow lying to us or not telling us the truth.
Yeah, I don't believe
that.
Well,
and Chris, you have to take that in the next turn. Why would they be lying? I mean, it's eventually going to come out. He's either going to be on the mound or he's not. So
right.
Has there been a case or two in Major League Baseball where an athlete did something stupid, got hurt, and tried to hide it, or yes, the club tried to hide it? Yeah, it's happened a couple of times. Jeff Kent, it does occur. Most of the time, though, the athlete did nothing wrong. Just, you know, slept on it funny, threw a pitch a funny way. And there's nothing to hide there. There's no reason to be embarrassed that you're hurt. It's a tough sport. People are going to get hurt. There's no real reason why the Padres would try to lie or hide something from the fans in the vast majority of cases.
I'd like to give you a good answer, Ben, but last night I ate some hot sauce and went down funny. My throat's a little sore. I'll be out the rest of the day. I don't know about the shoulder. I don't know why people don't believe it or do believe it. I don't really think that's material here. But I think Tony hit on something. I think Mike Schilt could do him, and I don't know that he cares, but I think he could do himself a little better service by honestly saying that. Yeah, you know, Jackson got hurt last night. We're going to need a couple days to be able to tell you what we think. Instead of he's out today, hopefully he's back tomorrow. Because then when tomorrow comes and he goes on the injured list, it seems like to us it's another blow. We got to take another blow as a fan base. We had to take the first blow that he's out. Now we got to take the next blow that he's on the injured list. So I think I would be a little more, not, I don't know, honest is the word, but just say, hey, we're going to take a couple days with Michael King. We'll let you know. That's it. And then we can't complain.
People would be mad about that, too.
Yeah, maybe.
I think in this King example, I actually think they've done a good job because essentially Mike Schultz said we are in the quote-unquote discovery phase of he woke up, you know, feeling the scapula issue, slept on it wrong. We haven't heard from Michael King about it, and they've said, hey, later in the week we'll have some more information on you. We're trying to figure it out. I think in this King example, they've actually done kind of the perfect thing of saying, yeah, it's a little weird. It's a little unusual injury. We're trying to figure it out. We'll have more information for you later in the week.
All right. Woods, you got anything to add?
I don't care about that. That's fine. not even a little bit. I'm just of the opinion of he's out. Okay, who's up next? How do we go out and win a ball game today? That's really how I operate. I've learned over the years that it's so all of this is out of my control. All of it.
This has been happening for the whole history of baseball. We just didn't have this kind of insight in the past.
Well, let me ask you again. Who's the best at it? Who's the best? What team should we model ourselves after? Marker, right? Who's the marker? Who do we go to?
I wish we were more like the Diamondbacks.
Tony La
Russa.
I think they handle it in the best way they see fit, and you have to make decisions. Here's what I do know is Mike Schultz really wants to win a lot of ball games in a World Series. I know that. I know it. I'd bet my house, my kids on it, man. Really, I know he wants to win a World Series, so they're going to do what they need to do. But I don't feel deceived. I don't feel shortchanged. I don't feel any of those things. I go, oh, that sucks. Who's the next man up? How do we win against the Pirates tomorrow night?
It's kind of like the low hanging fruit that you were talking about.
It's the easier thing to point at and be mad at this organization. Whatever, man. I think they're all this way.
And ironically, the team with the most injury issues and kind of, I guess, question marks about what's going on is the team up north.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's our 97.3 The Fan Padres Roundtable brought to you by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It's Prilipe's Pizza Royalty. We're commercial free. Doesn't mean we don't need a little break from the Padres talking an entire hour. That's what the seventh inning stretch is for. So today's non-baseball question. Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, was released this past week.
Oh, last night.
Oh, nice. All right, well, maybe Tony, you can get us started here. For our seventh inning stretch, I'm asking you, what's your favorite mega movie franchise? Like, big blockbuster movie, sequels, franchise that you like the most?
Don't start with me. I need to think about
this. I need time.
Woods, you got one? You're more of an indie house guy.
No, I'm not. Just because I don't watch the Avengers and stuff.
He says you're an indie guy.
I'm not, really. I like mob movies. Yeah, but they don't really do like franchises and stuff. y'all are going to laugh. Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes!
I love Axel Foley, baby. I love one. I love two. Three was okay. Four, I was happy to see it come back. Beverly Hills Cop is my Mission Impossible.
That's a really
Sammy,
good
what do you
one.
Think? I'm not a huge movie guy.
Sam doesn't watch movies.
I don't watch a lot of movies. you guys are going to laugh. I'll say Toy Story.
Okay.
I'm not mad at that.
It's probably one of the better Toy Stories. It's not bad at all.
Great movies.
All right, Chris.
And the fact that they came back with, I think it was Toy Story 3, I think, and it was amazing.
I think they're coming
out
with another
sequels.
One.
Years
Toy
later
Story,
was unbelievable. Yeah. Toy Story.
Chris?
Boy. Jaws is out.
Ooh.
Got really bad.
It did.
Godfather won two best pictures.
Yeah.
That's going way back.
But
that's hardly
a
franchise.
Yeah.
There's three of them.
Yeah. Yeah, because you called Woodsy the indie heart, but that's me, honestly. I really am always looking for a movie that's different. And when I see one that's the same or a franchise, I dismiss it almost immediately. So I don't have, you know.
No Star Wars or
I didn't,
like that?
Of the Fast and Furious 10, I saw none. Yeah. So, I, you know, I just, yeah. Star Wars, Not my thing either. So I'm going to say
Spaceballs.
I'm going to say Godfather.
All right.
Because it's the only thing I got.
Since you two wanted the most time to think, I'll go with my childhood love. I was obsessed with Back to the Future. All of the Back to the Future.
Dang it! Dang it! That was mine!
Number three faded a tad.
Yeah. A little bit.
I love three.
I still like how it ended. I loved, going with the train at the end. It was a good dramatic closing scene.
There are multiple Back to the Future.
Hey, there's three. He doesn't even know there are three Back to the Future. There's rides at Universal Studios.
I mean, this is... That one did not age well at all.
It's a mega movie franchise.
It is.
All right. Scraby, you need more time again?
No, I was going to take Back to the Future, but I'm going to go with... there's some terrible movies in this franchise, but I will sit down and watch all of them. Halloween. The Halloween.
Yes.
Like the Rob Zombie Halloween.
Yes.
The original Halloweens. Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers.
Yeah.
H2O with Busta Rhymes. Like, all of that stuff.
Didn't they go back at the end and do the original one again?
They kind of did. They brought back Jamie Lee Curtis to take down Michael Myers, even though he's been killed like
50
times. Every other movie.
Exactly.
He can't be killed.
All right, Tony, you'd love Beverly Hills.
That would have been my pick, but I'll keep it comedy. How about Friday franchise?
Oh, yes. There you go. I love it too so much.
They're having a fourth coming out soon.
Do they?
The last Friday.
What was three?
Three was the one with Cat Williams.
See, I didn't like that one, but I love one and two, and I'll watch four for sure. You've never seen any of them, have you?
I have. I've not.
You should. You'll get some laughs.
You've never seen the first Friday?
You'll see some laughs. You'll get some laughs for
that. I have not.
Unbelievable. Which movie franchises hit the highest number? Friday the 13th?
Ooh, they have.
Like, didn't they get the 13th?
I mean, like Marvel, there's been like 40 movies at this point. If you count that in Star Wars, there's been 10 or whatever.
Back to the Future was a close.
That was a good one, too, though. I like that. All right. Let's get back to the baseball. Padres. Mentioned it earlier. They begin a stretch of 26 games in 27 days. This is a dangerous part of the season, and also for Tony's home life as well, coming up. And they're doing it now with a rotation, at least at the moment, of Cease, Pivetta, Vasquez, Kolek, and Hart. How are they going to manage getting through some tougher opponents, no off days, a bullpen that's already tired, and not knowing if they're getting Michael King, Yu Darvish, maybe Matt Waldron back during this stretch? This, I think, you know, Tony, this is a tough portion of the schedule. We got to keep an eye on this.
It is. You got a four against San Francisco. You got seven against the Dodgers. You got another three against the Diamondbacks. And you got the Royals scattered in there as well. Yeah, listen, in my opinion, these are the months that really form your team and show you what you have, right? We learned a lot about the Padres in June, July of last year when they had to battle some rotation issues. Guys stepped up, and just as they were starting to peter out, they got healthy. And so I expect it to be the same way. The reason why I feel so good about this team is having been around these guys for the last 2 years, they just have a belief about their work and what they're putting in. And as much as sometimes it may feel, because when we were winning, it never felt like we were going to lose. I think you brought this point up. And then when we were losing, it felt like that was never going to end. But those guys stay even no matter what. Even days I come to the stadium after some of those losses, I expect to see some slump shoulders or just some. Never. These guys are the same way every day. And so I think we find out what the team is really made of during this stretch right here.
Woods, I said during our show, I mean, Matt Waldron kind of saved the team in the middle of the season. We may be heading toward another situation where Matt Waldron could be needed to save at least a stretch of this season for the Padres as well.
Yeah, man, I listened to Sammy's interview with Luis Arraez the other night and on the drive home, and I love that dude so much. I love his attitude, his mindset. He's positive, relentlessly positive. And I think, you know, he kept telling Sammy, strong mind, strong mind. Yeah. That's what we need to have. We need to have a strong mind. And I think that's how you get through this stretch. And Tony knows better than any of us here and any of us listening, you know, as he is around the team. Jesse's told us many times, I'm like, man, how morose was that flight? He's like, not even a little bit. Right. And it's not that they don't care. It's that, man, we got 150 games to go or whatever it was when we asked him. And he's like, you cannot beat yourself up over losing 5-6 in a row. But, yeah, this stretch is going to be tough. I think we have the right guys at the helm to manage that ship, certainly. And yeah, you're going to have to, again, it's guys stepping up and doing their jobs. Oh, this guy's down. I got to step up. And I think we have a team full of guys that are have shown that they're able to do that. You know, we've already weathered some injuries this year. We already have. We've already weathered some injuries. And, you know, with Crony and Merrill, and, you know, we played pretty good baseball in that stretch. So why would anything change? Look, it's the dumbest game alive. I love it so much. This team can rip off a huge winning streak. They could also lose another six in a row. I just, like Tony says, I believe in them, and I know they believe in themselves.
Matt, obviously it would help if King or Darvish and Darvish came back during this stretch, but I don't think they can count on that. But they got to find a way to get through this this next month.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty important time for Kyle Hart, too, because he could either make it or break it for himself. Yesterday he put the loss on him, and I don't think that's fair that he put the loss on him, but Kyle Hart's going to be huge here. It's the guys that are on the fringe that we've been talking about all year that are going to have to step up, just as Woods said. It's not going to be easy, and the starting rotation is going to have to be pretty good so that they can keep the bullpen fresh. But as you guys said and as we've said, I believe in what Mike Schill and Ruben Diabla are doing, so I trust that they know how to get through this.
The key thing for you is that you need an MVP performance the next 20 days from Tyler Wade.
Yes, thank you, Chris. I knew I should never have said that. I knew I should never have said that.
Now, one thing that could help the Padres get through this stretch. Now, it's very, you know, it's very hard to find a trade partner, especially this early in the season. But if their offense gets going and we're showing signs of clicking, you can overcome a little lack of pitching by putting up a lot of runs on the board. If AJ could somehow add another piece and really get that offense going for the next month, Sammy, it would be a nice at least cushion to help them get through, you know, the inevitable rough day where they're going to have to lean on a tired bullpen or they don't have a starter one day. You know, the better the offense does over this stretch, the easier this stretch is going to be. That's always true.
Yeah, I think if there's a move to be made, I firmly believe AJ Preller will do everything in his ability to do it, and he is the GM you want if you need an early move because he's shown the ability to do it. It's hard to make moves. The Arise trade last year at this time of year was very, very rare to have a deal like that, but it doesn't have to be something as significant as that. I'm with you. I think a lot now in this 26 out of 27 stretch, you look at the offense and you say, hey, pitching, dealing with injuries, we've got a bullpen that's tired. I think a lot of it falls on the offense to sort of carry the load here over the course of the next month or so. I'll also say this, going back to what Tony said just about the vibe of this team the last couple of years. They've done a really good job, and this past couple of weeks was an example of it where they lose six in a row, but then they bounce back and they win 4 of 5, and they don't allow six in a row to become losing 9 of 10, 10 out of 11. They have always shown an ability to steady the ship just when you think it's about to get really, really rocky. And there are little things about them and how they go about it that always stands out to me. And I'll give you one from yesterday, and I've noticed it before. Really tough loss yesterday, right? If you noticed on your drive home from the game, if you were at the game, if you were listening to the Hummel Casino Resort Padres postgame show.
Get it in.
You noticed when we heard from the players, they're playing music in the clubhouse. This is not a somber clubhouse. It's not a silent clubhouse. There's music going on. You can hear chatter in the background. They always seem to keep it pretty even keel, which I think has been demonstrated on the field as well, which I think gives you a little hope that they can at least stay afloat through this stretch.
I would say a monster stretch by Tatis again wouldn't hurt, at least.
Yeah,
also.
That would
be great. Well, all right, a couple minutes left. I understand that we had a major milestone in the last few days with one of our panelists, and Chris wanted to make a little special presentation.
Yes, he'll be pleased that I'm doing this on the live show. But over the weekend, our esteemed colleague, Mr. Scraby, had a milestone birthday.
Yes, he did.
I want to wish him a happy birthday, and I brought him a little gift. I'd like him to unfurl it for us. I think all of us who golf on the panel would appreciate getting this gift, but I've given it to Scraby.
Happy birthday, Scraby.
Happy birthday, Scraby. Hold it up there.
Other way,
so is it appropriate for consumption?
I use this towel to clean my balls.
That is actually really good because I do need a new towel.
A new ball cleaning towel.
Yes. Thank you very much.
You can think of us.
It's that wick material, too.
So it never
wicks
gets
it away.
Yeah.
How'd you celebrate your 40th?
I honestly just went to the driving range.
Nice.
Some golf.
Oh, you couldn't remember your 40th?
Do I remember my 40th? Yeah.
What'd you do?
Hannah threw a surprise party for me.
Oh, nice.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Chris?
Yeah. Same. I had a surprise party. Yeah. Last week, so I remember it well.
I don't think I can ask Sam or Tony. Can I ask you? Yeah, I can ask you now.
I don't remember what I did, though.
Really? Really? That long ago?
It was like 2 years ago.
Was that 2 years ago?
20?
No, 23.
Yeah.
I was at home. I didn't do much.
I went to golf in Vegas with my brother and my buddy and had a nice little weekend for my 40th birthday.
Just about all of us could use that towel.
Any dreams or hopes for 40?
That's so far away.
Rubbing it in.
I like it.
Rubbing it in.
Well, we'll have another presentation.
You know what? You never know. By then, there could be a little Sammy running around.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Wow. We're getting it's that far away.
Mother is here.
Mom is here.
It's either breaking news or.
You never know.
By the way,
I'm not saying.
By the time we get to the All-Star break, we will have another presentation over here for number 50.
50, baby.
Oh,
half a C note.
You know, it's funny. I'll actually do the round table, and then I'll go to the airport to go to England for my 50th birthday.
Go to Oasis.
On Thursday.
Is that
July 19th.
Yep. Is that
so the 16th. No, I leave on Wednesday. Sorry, I'm going to be missing you guys.
Is that what the motivation is for you putting up 215 now, 225?
225. No, my motivation.
You just want to get yacked?
Get stronger.
We're out of time, everybody. Thank you for joining us. The Roundtable Pizza Roundtable brought to you by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. It really is pizza royalty. I believe the Matt Scraby Show is coming up next year on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Go get it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.